Let's now take a closer look at what was contained in part one of successful negotiation. First, we were given three definitions of negotiating. The essence of those three is contained in the following.
From these three definitions, we can see a number of points. Firstly, negotiation is a way of dealing or trading. Secondly, negotiation requires a certain amount of flexibility, at least on one side of the table. And thirdly, negotiation is a game of give and take.
Negotiating involves a mixture of these three principles. No matter what kind of negotiation you're involved in, whether financial, industrial, political, or social, you will need to keep these three in mind. So, a way of combining these three principles into one would be to say, negotiation is a conflict. The aim is conciliation or agreement, and this is achieved through trading or compromise. Negotiation is required when two parties or groups require different things from each other and neither is prepared to give the other party exactly what it wants. Negotiation is not required when one party is willing to give in and give the other what it wants, or when one party manages to force the other, by whatever means, to give them what they want. If negotiation between two parties fails, then two alternative approaches can be taken. Firstly, arbitration, where an outsider acts as a judge and decides the case for both parties. Voluntary arbitration is where both parties choose an arbitrator. Involuntary arbitration is where the dispute goes to court and is decided by a state judge. A second possibility is problem solving, which is really a second attempt at negotiation, but this time with the emphasis on solving the problem rather than either side winning. So, presuming you choose to negotiate in order to get what you want, you should conduct the negotiation in four stages. These are
1. The prepare phase. 2. The debate phase. 3. The propose phase. And 4. The bargain phase.
Preparing is about deciding what you really want and what the other party really wants. Just as you will not at first let the other party know what your priorities are, they will also disguise their priorities among other secondary wants in order to get the best possible deal. Negotiation is often compared to a game of cards. Before making the first move, you must decide what offers you are willing to throw down on the negotiating table and what cards you intend to hold on to. You must then decide what cards of your opponent you require. In the negotiation, you will try and get as many of these as possible while giving away as few as possible of your own good cards. Many card game phrases and words are used in the world of negotiating, and one of these is bluffing. This means presenting your not-so-good cards or offers as good cards or offers which your opponent needs. Another is trump card. This is the best offer or benefit you can give to the other party. If thrown down at the right time, it can settle the negotiation in your favour. In part one, you are told that you must categorise what you want and what you are willing to give before beginning the negotiation. Your wants should be categorised as high, low, and medium.
High importance wants must include all those wants which are essential to the deal. Without these, the negotiator is not willing to reach any agreement. Medium importance wants, or goals, are then those which you push for but which are not critical to the deal. Wants of low importance are those which you would like to achieve if you could, but are, however, not necessary.
In other words, this means knowing the relative value of each card you're looking for. If you don't know this, the danger is that you'll exchange one of your high-value cards for a low-value card of your opponent. Secondly, you must categorize what you are willing to give away according to entry and exit positions.
Your entry position is the condition you will demand in relation to an issue at the start of your negotiation. Your exit position is the point beyond which a deal is no longer possible.
The entry point is the ideal amount you would concede. The exit point is the maximum you are willing to concede. Therefore, you will settle the deal at your entry point only if you are in a very strong position over the other party. And you will settle at your exit point only if the other party is in a very strong position over you. Your priorities in preparing for the negotiation are summarized as follows.
Firstly, what you want from the negotiation. Secondly, the relative importance to you of these wants. And thirdly, how you would present your wants. That is, what are your entry positions and exit positions in trying to gain these wants?
The next phase of negotiation is the debate, or initial argument.
There are two main things within your control when you debate: your presentation of your own points and your reaction to the other negotiator's points. When debating, you must try to assess the other negotiator's views. Therefore, it is better to keep away from disrupting the other person and to avoid destructive argument.
The debate is a game of cat and mouse. Neither party is being quite honest. Each is observing the other, trying to establish a tactic for the negotiation, trying to find out how the other can be manipulated. This is a crucial phase, because here the relationship between the negotiators and the stakes or conditions of the negotiation is set. If you take a negative position or reveal too much in the debate phase, you may find yourself battling uphill for the rest of the negotiation. If the other party is tense or hostile, they are likely to hold their cards close to their chests, to use another card-playing phrase. This means they will be very cautious and make it difficult for you to find out what they have to offer, what they want to get, and what they will accept. In order to open your opponent up, to reduce his fears, you must behave openly and fearlessly. Avoid any reactions that might lead you to deadlock. That is in nobody's favour. As I said, the debate phase is a game of cat and mouse. Whether you become the cat or the mouse depends on your behaviour and skill as a negotiator. Assume that you are the cat. Play with your opponent. Keep the debate flowing freely until your opportunity comes.
The good negotiator has patience to wait for the other negotiator to give in slightly, but doesn't wait so long that the negotiations fall apart. The way to judge the optimum amount of time to wait is by looking for signals. You must look for signals from the other person that they are willing to move their position.
You can prompt signals by asking questions and hinting at a change in your own position. When you have chosen your moment, there comes the time for the proposal. You are still testing your opponent to see what he is willing to give. You are putting down your first good card, and now you want to see what the other party can counter with.
"We will give you a discount of 10%. Is a bad proposal. It would be better to say, if we were to give you a discount of 10%, then what could we expect in return?
Consider the proposal phase as a continuation of the debate phase on a more defined and less vague level.
When responding to a proposal, never respond with a yes or no immediately. It is better to respond by asking more questions. by asking questions you can clarify a vague proposal.
When the other party has made its counter-proposal to your proposal, it's time to start the bargaining phase. Here, you must find a middle point, a compromise between the two proposals.
Any offers you make while bargaining must again be conditional. Nothing must be given away for nothing. In order to give away something, you must be gaining something. However, a bargain is different from a proposal in that it is specific and not vague.
Now, you are trying to fix the other party to a final agreement. Let's repeat the essentials of bargaining.
When bargaining, here are some do's and don'ts. Do. Remember that every offer must be conditional. Decide what you need in exchange for your offers. Make bargain offers clear and not vague. Link different issues to each other. Be ready to come back to previously discussed issues to break a deadlock. Use question proposals when bargaining. For example, if I do this, then will you do that? Don't forget to state your conditions. Agree to issues one at a time. Make unconditional offers.
Finally, be careful not to surrender a lot of ground at the very end. The negotiation isn't over until an agreement has been signed by both parties. Listen to the following list of words. After each one, try to propose a word with the same or similar meaning. I will correct you. To require. To need. To adjust. To change or to modify. To pursue. To look for or to chase after. Coercion. Force. To modify. To adjust or to change. To propose. To suggest. To assess. To gauge or to determine. To terminate. To end. Optimum. Perfect. Vague. Unclear. The following are a number of difficult phrases and words, which I will explain. Number one, mutually obtainable outcome. This means a result which can be achieved by both parties. Number two, the odds are too hard. Means the chances are low. Number three, to have the upper hand. Means to have the advantage. Number four, to address issues. Means to turn one's attention to problems. Number five, to jeopardize the deal. Means to put the deal in danger. Number six, to score points. Means to take unfair advantage of an opponent's problems. Number seven, resentment. Means bitterness or bad feeling. Number eight, deadlock. Means a stalemate, a situation where no one can win. Number nine, compromise. Means both sides sacrifice something to find a solution, the middle ground. An important point of grammar which came up several times was the conditional tense. As I said, in the negotiation, both parties are dealing in vague proposals. For this reason, there is much use of the conditional tense. There are three conditional tenses. The first of these expresses our reaction to a possible event in the future, i.e. what we will do if something happens. For example, if he agrees to pay overtime, I will sign the contract. The negative is quite simple. If we don't get the contract, we'll have to close the business. This form will only be used in the very last stage of negotiating, where definite offers and conditions are being made. The second conditional tense predicts our reaction to a hypothetical event, i.e. what you would do if something happened. For example, if you'd agree to longer working hours, we'd increase pay. The situation is purely hypothetical. And in the negative, we wouldn't deliver the goods if you couldn't guarantee prompt payment. The third conditional expresses what might have been, i.e. that lost possibility in the past. This would rarely be used in negotiation. For example, we would have gone bankrupt if we had continued with that policy. And the negative form? If we hadn't had William on the negotiation team, we would never have won that contract. Well, language learners, I hope my instruction has helped to clear up some problems and difficulties for you. If there is still a lot you didn't understand, don't worry. Just listen to part one and then part two again and again until it's all crystal clear. Good luck and enjoy learning.